Welcome from Tiffin Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good morning, church. Man, I am so blessed, so excited to be here with you this morning. Looking forward to opening God's Word with you this morning. I appreciate Pastor John giving me this opportunity. I just want to say your pastor has been a great friend and a great encourager in my life for many years. He's just a good friend, and I'm honored to be able to stand here this morning and preach in his pulpit. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 this morning. Verses 1 through 16. It says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Martha who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Aren't you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" The title of the message this morning is, "When God's Love Does Not Look Like Love." When God's love does not look like love. How many of us have ever had the thought, if God loves me, then why? And we can all fill in the blank. If God loves me, then why did I lose my job? If God loves me, then why did I get cancer? If God loves me, then why did my mother or my father die? We've probably all asked that question at one time or another, haven't we? We struggle with that. And that's where the people in our passage are today. There's something going on in their lives. There's a great issue that they're struggling with. And they're asking the question, why? So we're going to walk through these verses quickly this morning and draw out some principles and just take a look at them. And then we're going to see if we can tie it all together in the end and make some application to where we are at today. Verses 2 and 3. "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" So here are Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus had spent time in their home. He'd actually been in their home. He'd gone to their home on a couple of occasions. So they were friends. Could you imagine having Jesus as a friend? Now, he is our friend. We'll point that out. But could you imagine having Jesus as a "hey honey, guess who's coming to dinner" friend? I mean, having Jesus and the disciples come to your house, that had to have been an incredible thing. Jesus called Lazarus and Mary and Martha friends. He'd spent time in their home. Mary had honored him in a way that would be remembered for all history when she took the bottle of ointment and she broke it open and she anointed his feet and dried them with her hair. Still talking about that today. Their brother Lazarus had come down sick. Doesn't say what's going on. I'm suspicious it may have been COVID. But anyway, he came down sick. It was very serious. So they sent for Jesus. And I'm just going to be honest. If I have a personal friend who can walk on water, who can heal blind men, who can cure leprosy, he's going to be my go-to guy when I'm sick. I mean, that's going to be the first person I think of. So that's what they did. They sent for Jesus. They said, hey, Jesus, Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. You need to come quickly. And here's where the story starts to get a little messy in verse 4. It says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And this is where we start to see problems come in. When there starts to be unmet expectations. Because when we call upon the Lord, when we pray, we're just going to be honest, we have expectations. There's things that we want to see. There's things that we believe should play out this way. When something serious goes on in our lives, just to be honest, we want God to panic. This is going on. I'm going to pray. God's going to go, oh my goodness, and fix it. That's what we want. Those are our expectations. We expect Him to act immediately. This is the most important thing in my life right now. So it really should be the most important thing in eternity. That's what we want. We want God to act immediately. It's when things start to go serious. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Very simple, very clear. John says Jesus loved Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. Verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Here Jesus' actions start to seem contradictory. He heard Lazarus, whom he loved, John just made that very clear, he heard that he was sick, and then he just hung out for 2 more days. Just stayed where he was. And what do we do when we get the call that someone we love is in a crisis? When they're in an emergency, when they're sick, when there's something major going on in their lives. When we hear that about someone we love, we react, don't we? We react. When I was working on this, I thought about back in 2003, I had a heart attack. They put me in the hospital, and Debbie starts making phone calls, and she called my mom, lived in Michigan. She was probably 70 years old at the time. Told her what had happened, told her I was okay, everything was going to be fine. But just told her, you know, hey, he's in the hospital, he had a heart attack. And then she went, I should probably call Mike's sister. So she called my sister, lets her know that I'm in the hospital, and my sister Debbie's like, okay, all right, well, you know, we'll be praying. And Debbie hung up the phone, and she told me later, when she hung up the phone, she went, Mom, My mom lived about a half a mile away. So she immediately jumps in the car, drives to the other side of town, which is all of a half a mile. And when she pulled up to the house, my mom is dragging a suitcase down the driveway, putting it in the car to drive to Missouri by herself at 70 years old. Someone she loved needed her. And she was going. When we get that call about a loved one, we act on it. We act on it. But Jesus almost seems to brush this situation off. Isn't that what it kind of looks like? He's not going to die. This isn't that major a deal. We're going to hang out for 2 days. You could read that into the story if you didn't know the rest of it. It seems even stranger. This week I was doing a little study and just kind of finalizing some things for the message. And I found out that at this point, Jesus was only 2 to 3 miles away from Lazarus. He could have been there in 20 or 30 minutes and then been back. Reading on. After this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. So after 2 days, Jesus says to the disciples, "Okay, let's go. We're going to Lazarus." The disciples kind of remind him that pretty much everybody in Judea wants to kill him. Important information, right? But he doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Jesus says, "Let's go wake Lazarus up." And the disciples kind of see this as nothing more than a very dangerous hospital visit. They argue. They say, "Lord, let's just stay here. How about this for a plan? Let's just stay here where nobody wants to kill you and let Lazarus get some rest. Let's let him sleep this off." It doesn't look like it's really a time for visitors. How many of you have ever been in the hospital, been admitted to the hospital for one thing or another, and you get visitors? You have visitors come. Man, you so appreciate them coming to visit. They love you. They're concerned about you. You appreciate them coming to visit. But you're tired. You feel grungy. You're worn out. And you just want to rest so that you can go home. That's what you want more than anything else. You just want to rest. Shortly after I had my heart attack, I had another issue, and they wound up having to go in and do open heart surgery. And I remember it was about 3 days out from the surgery. 3 days out, they say, is the worst point in the recovery, because everything's starting to wear off and you're just struggling. And so 3 days out, and into my hospital room walk two guys from our church, Ray Adams and Dennis Jennings. Great guys. But when they're together, they're kind of like Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets. Remember the two old guys that kibitzed from the balcony? When they're together, that's what they're like. And they come into my room, and I'm laying there just not in a good place. And they come in with smiles on their face. And they start telling me jokes. Really funny jokes that you cannot laugh at. Especially if you've got a little pain medication. They're pretty funny. But they had sawed my chest in half. So I'm there laughing. And I'm just dying. It hurts so bad to laugh. And they just kept for like 15 minutes telling jokes and funny stories. I'm just like, oh, you guys go away, please. I was so glad that they were there. But oh my goodness. That's kind of what they were thinking about Lazarus. He's like, let's just leave him alone and let the poor guy sleep, and he's going to get better. And that's where the story really gets messy. Verses 14 through 16. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Two phrases in those last couple verses that really caught my attention with this story. The first one says in verse 14, Lazarus has died. And then in verse 15, Jesus, the one who loved Lazarus, said these words, I am glad. Now look back at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Three things to remember when God's love does not look like love. Number one, you are still loved. When God's love does not look like love, you are still loved. We like to filter love through the lens of our circumstances. We like to filter love through our circumstances. I know you love me because, and you can fill in the blank. We live in the show me state, right? I know you love me because you show me. I know you love me because of the way you treat me, the things you say, the things you do for me, those examples of why you love me. We look at love through our circumstances. But God sees love through the context of eternity. His love for us sees far beyond our circumstances at this time. If this story had ended in verse 6, that's all there was to this story. We didn't know the rest of the story. Would we have believed that Jesus really loved Lazarus? He just let his friend die. No, we really wouldn't have bought that. But there was much more going on that we can see. There was a much greater plan in the works. Later in the chapter, the Jews at the tomb ask a question that most of us have had. In verses 36 and 37, it said, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Couldn't he have done something? Have we ever asked that question? God, couldn't you have done something? Couldn't you have done something to prevent this, to stop this? Why did you let this happen? Have you ever been at the point where faith and reality collide? We know that we believe this. This is what we want to believe. This is what we've been taught. But reality looks so much different. And we struggle with that. It's easy to tell someone else to have faith, isn't it? It's easy for me to say, you need to have more faith. You need to have more faith. You need to have more faith. But it's much different when we have to believe what we say we believe. There's going to be a time in our life that we have to live what we say we believe. And when God's love does not look like we think it should, faith believes that we are loved. Our faith has to be based in that. You know, the reality is, we spend so much of our lives avoiding suffering. So much of our lives is invested in just avoiding suffering. To the point that we just struggle. We make the mistake of believing that love and suffering are incompatible. We think those two things can't go hand in hand. Love and suffering can't be compatible. You grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know that's not true. I remember many times when the Board of Education came out in my life. My dad would get that paddle out and he would lay into me. And what did your parents always say? It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me. I never believed that. Not one time. Till I was a parent. But love on one end and suffering on the other were compatible. Love and suffering are compatible. Everything around us may say God does not care, but we have it in writing that He does. We have it in writing that God loves us. Man, I was thinking this morning, just a little note I jotted in. I wish I had it in writing to the extent that Mary and Martha and Lazarus did. I wish there was a verse 5.5 that said, and Mike. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Mike. But He does. He loves us that much. He loves us no less than He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Our greatest encouragement in times of suffering, in times of doubt, is the Word of God. When we're going through a difficult time, when we're struggling, when we're suffering, when we don't understand, the place that we have to turn is to the Word of God. We may not be able to see it, we may not be able to feel it, we may not even be able to say it, but God has said it. And by faith, we need to trust and we need to believe that we are loved. Second, when God's love does not look like love, He is still working. He is still working. Commentators believe that by the time these messengers that Mary and Martha sent, by the time they reached Jesus, Lazarus was probably already dead. He probably, if the timeline plays out the way they believe it did, he probably passed away shortly after the messengers went to find Jesus. We often make the mistake of looking at verses in the Bible and getting confused on them. We love the verse in the Bible, Romans 8:28, about all things working together for good. Man, that makes a great bumper sticker. It makes a great refrigerator magnet. I mean, it's good for us to remember that all things work together for good. But the mistake comes in when we confuse all things working together for good, with all things being good. We just be honest, for Mary and Martha, nothing about their brother getting sick and dying was good. It's that way in our lives sometimes, isn't it? I can't think of anything good about having a heart attack, having open heart surgery, about seeing a loved one go through cancer, about seeing fill in the blank. I can't think of anything good about that. But I do believe that God can and will use that for good someday. Next week, we're going to look at how Mary and Martha knew that they were going to see Lazarus again one day. Man, that was good. They had faith that they would see Lazarus again one day. What they could not see was that God had things in motion, things working together for good that they could not even begin to imagine. God's work in this situation went way beyond just healing Lazarus. Many years ago, there was a song that went, "When you can't see his hand, trust his heart." The disciples were soon going to learn that in a very real way. They were going to go up to Jerusalem in a few days, and their leader was going to be arrested, beat, crucified, and buried. They were going to spend 3 agonizing days just waiting for an opportunity to properly bury their leader. Could you imagine for the disciples what those 3 days would have been like? They had to be the darkest days they had ever lived through. For 3 years, they had followed Jesus. They had seen the incredible miracles that he did. Absolutely incredible teaching. Crowds following him. They thought that he was going to be the king who was going to free them from Roman persecution and oppression. He was going to herald in the age of the Messiah, the kingdom of God, all of these great things. And then suddenly, in a day's time, everything changed. Everything changed. They could not see God's work. None of what happened made sense. But when God's work was revealed, the things He was working together for good, they would never be the same again. There's a key word, a few key words in this passage that shows God's purpose for everything He was doing in the life of Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and the disciples. Verse 15. I'm glad I wasn't there. Catch this. So that you may believe. So that you may believe. All of this, everything I'm doing is for one reason, so that you may believe. You see, God knows that if our faith is weak, or if we're filled with doubt, our works will never be strong. When our faith is weak, when we're filled with doubts, when we're struggling, our works are never going to be strong. Think about what He was about to call on these disciples to do. He was going to leave them. They were going to carry the gospel message to the ends of the world. He knew that their faith needed to be strong. In just a couple days, Peter was going to deny Him 3 times. Like, "Peter, we need to work on your faith." Peter turned the world upside down after the resurrection. He knows that our works need to be strong. We may not be able to see it, but as long as we have breath, God is working in our lives, and when that work is finished, we will stand amazed. Third, when God's love does not look like love, God has a purpose. Again, verse 15. And for your sakes, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go unto him. We see from the resurrection of Lazarus that it's nothing for God to change our circumstances. It is absolutely nothing to God to change our circumstances. He can do that in an instant. Even death is inconsequential to him. The lesson we need to learn from the first few verses of chapter 11 is that God is not that worried about our circumstances. He's concerned about our hearts. Our circumstances are easy. Changing our hearts is a different matter. God's purpose, the reason for what He does, is to change our hearts. Warren Wiersbe, it's hard to get that out, wrote that God's love is never a pampering love. His love is never a pampering love. It's a preparing love. He is preparing us for something. I think of this statement. It makes me think of a lady I work with at the missions office. Years ago, she got breast cancer. Bad. She went through just an incredibly difficult treatment procedure. All kinds of things. She lost her hair. She was weak from the chemo. She had massive doses of chemo. Difficult circumstances. And we prayed and prayed, God, take this. God, take this. God, take this. And God said no. And she went through all of these trials and all of these difficulties. And you're not going to find a much better person. And we had the why question. Why? And she went through all of this struggle and all of this trial. And praise the Lord, she came out on the other side of it and was declared in remission. I mean, we were so thankful. But I remember looking back and thinking, why? You know, why would God let her go through this? But God's love is not a pampering love. It's a preparing love. And it was incredible to see, as she came out the other side of this trial, the things that began to take place. She's an organizer. And she began to put together this book, how to track your treatments, how to keep track of your appointments, who to contact when you just need somebody to talk to, on and on. It's a binder about that thick. It's incredible to see when one of our missionaries has breast cancer, or is diagnosed with cancer, they're getting one of these books and a prayer warrior to walk with them through it. We saw this as a trial, but God was preparing someone to build a bridge for others to cross over. And we're so blessed to have a God who won't leave us doubting in our faith. I'm sure there were times when she just cried out, God, why am I going through this? Why am I struggling through this? But then to find out, He's always working. He's always preparing. He's drawing us closer. He's making us stronger so that He can show His glory. That's what He wants. He wants to show His glory in and through our lives. That's what He's preparing us for when trials come our way. Everything Jesus did on this earth and everything He's doing from heaven is to turn the hearts of sinful men like you and I towards Him in faith. He wants to make us stronger so that our works for Him will be strong. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to be in this place today. Thank You for this church that has stood here on this corner for so many years as a faithful testimony to You. God, I can't imagine the work that You've done in and through this church throughout so many years. And Father, I pray for each and every one here this morning. Lord, there may be one here this morning who is going through a trial, who maybe right now is even where some of the people in the story were this morning. They're struggling. They're doubting. They're questioning. Father, I pray that You would help them to know, first of all, that You love them. Father, help them to walk from this place this morning knowing that You love them more than they could ever imagine. Father, I pray that You would build their faith today, and that You would prepare them, Father, that You would prepare them for great works as they serve You in the coming week. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
From Tiffin Baptist Church, thank you for listening to this sermon. Our Sunday service starts at 10:45. And we'd love to have you join us.